biscuits and apples, and Deb for the gravy and the bacon. Terry cooked the eggs. Mike had an idea that the ladies ought to have one of them, and we should crash it, you know. I believe you are. I believe you are. Yes, I. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the met. You saw four. You seconded it. Tommy first it, you seconded it. All in favor? Okay. Let's pray and we'll get started this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to show you something here. I can't remember what caller they said didn't show up on TV. I'm going to talk about joy and gladness this morning. Amen. But I want to give you something. I want to give you something I want to give you the foundation or the pillars from which your joy stems from or what it comes from. Okay. The first pillar is love. Okay. The first pillar of your joy is love. Everybody wants to be loved, do they not? Huh? Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be accepted. But how many of you have ever had a bad relationship? Didn't go right, okay? Well, that's not the kind of love that we're talking about. We're talking about the love of God. You don't have to measure up. You don't have to be somebody special. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Amen? God's love is action. Amen? It's not just emotion. It's not just saying, you know, some guy telling a girl, oh, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. You know, no, it's action. God proved he loved us, and he established that love and that kingship at Calvary with a great act of redemption. How many of you have drank from the well of that salvation? Amen. Glory. You've experienced God's redemption. The second pillar that our joy or our gladness is built on is faith. Amen. What did Paul say? Now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So faith is the second pillar. Faith is not simply just believing something. Okay? Faith is being faithful. It's, you know, a faithful marriage requires fidelity or faithfulness between the two parties. Amen? A male and a female. Let me get that in there, okay? It requires faithfulness. So in order for you to have joy and gladness, you're going to have to walk in the love of God, and you're going to have to be faithful to God. Amen? And then that third pillar down here is hope. How many know there's a world's hope and there is a godly kind of hope? The world's hope is what people do when they buy a lottery ticket. Okay? They're wishing. I never forget when it got a $800 million or whatever it was, I bought a ticket. That ticket possessed me. You know, for the 3 days it took to draw and let me know I lost, I thought, oh, I hit that. I'll do this. I'll do that. Anybody ever done that? Am I the only one? But that's just wishing. But there is a hope in God. How many know he is the rock? He is your rock, your fortress, your high tower. There's a hope in God that is based on his love and his faithfulness to us. All right? And then the last pillar here is really, and they're kind of the same, is trust. I love that song there that we sang last, I Will Trust in You. How many of you, since you've been born again, you realize that everything didn't come up rosy just because you gave your heart to the Lord? How many know God never moves on our time schedule? Huh? Because you know why he can't do that? We're a microwave society. We want it now. Hmm? And to understand true love, love gets stronger. The truth is, love gets stronger in a relationship when a relationship goes through some hard times, but you stay together. See, your love for God will get stronger as you go through that those rocky times with Him, but you stay with Him. You stay faithful to Him. You keep hoping in Him. You keep trusting in Him, and that relationship gets stronger and stronger. Somebody say amen. And then, but these are the four pillars that we want to build our joy, our gladness. Without these, we won't have any joy or gladness. All right, you got your Bibles? I'm going to show you something. I've showed it to you before, but I wasn't going to read it. It wasn't in my notes. You're in Leviticus 6, verse 8. Page 139, if you got a Bible like mine. I know some of you do. Chapter 6, verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on the other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. Now watch verse 12. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Who was responsible for that fire? The priest. Did you know your Bible tells you in Revelations 1 that Jesus has made you a priest and a king before God? In other words, if you're not happy, if you have no joy, it's because you have let the fire of the altar of your heart grow cold. Amen. Listen, there is so much going on in our lives today. We're going 90 miles an hour, and if we don't put the brakes on, and if we don't stop, and if we don't read our Bibles and spend some time with God, we will grow cold. Amen. It's up to us to continue to put that fire on the altar of our hearts. Amen. If we're not willing to do that, we're not going to be a joyful people. We're not going to be a glad people. Now, I'm as busy as anybody, maybe more so. But if you let the stuff that you have to do every day interfere with some time with God, then that fire's going to grow cold. And you know what? The first thing that usually happens to people when they let it grow cold, that you start missing them in church. Because I'm tired. I don't want to go. I got this to do and that to do, and I got to be here and I got to be there. And see, we need each other together corporately. Amen? For together, when we come to worship God, we help stoke the fire on each other's hearts. Amen? God's people, this church family, ought to be a happy group. We ought to have joy. Amen. All right. You got your Bibles. I'm not going to read all these. I'm just going to tell you what they say. So if you're taking notes, you can write them down. Here's some sources of joy that the Bible speaks about. Okay? In the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us the intimacy between a husband and wife brings joy to each other. Okay? Proverbs 5:18 says marriage brings joy. It's Proverbs 5:18. Psalms 113:9 tells us that the birth of children brings joy. And I'll tell you what, you ladies, there is nothing that will brighten a room full of women than a baby. Bring a baby in a room full of women and everybody brightens up. It's that motherly instinct in you. Isaiah 9:3 says that a plentiful harvest and even a military victory brings joy. Amen. Now, I wasn't born after World War I or World War II, so I don't remember, or I was born after those, so I don't remember what it was like here when those wars came to an end, but I've seen videos of parades in New York and Washington, and it looked like a very joyous occasion when the soldiers came home and we had won a victory. Amen. Psalms 104 verse 15 even says that wine helps bring joy. Now, turn to Psalms 32. However, too much wine brings heartache. Somebody say amen. Okay, I just wanted to get that corrected in case anybody had any thoughts there. Okay, Psalms 32, page 710, verse 11. It says, be glad in Yahweh. You got capital letters there. That's that most holy name of God. In Hebrew, you say it Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. In English, we transliterate it as Yahweh. Be glad in Yahweh, or the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, you upright in heart. God, the presence of God, brings joy. Amen. It never fails. When I'm ministering to preachers, the presence of God shows up. I'm happier at that moment than any other time. When I'm studying and I'm by myself, the presence of God, sometimes he'll show up. And it's so real and so tangible, you can't help be happy. Amen? So taking time to get into the presence of God will help bring joy to your life. Amen. Because when you're practicing getting into God's presence by simply praying, you know, you don't have to be, there are people who can pray the paint off walls, you know. And there are people that stammer and stutter and they're not real smooth at praying out loud. And that's okay. But getting into the presence of God, you don't have to be someone who can say great prayers. You just have to be someone who says, Father, I need your presence today. I'm putting the brakes on. I'm just going to sit down here with you. I mean, there's times I get so wore out, I don't feel like going in and praying long prayers. I'll just sit down and say, can I sit on your lap this morning? Would you just let me be with you this morning? Because his presence brings joy and gladness, no matter what the circumstance. I'm going to prove that in a minute. Something else the Bible tells us is in Psalms 119. Let's go over there. Psalms 119, verse 12. Psalm 119, verse 12. It says, Psalms 119, verse 12. Page 779, it says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. The word of God, as you read the word of God, you study the word of God, the word of God will help you maintain your joy and gladness. Amen. The psalmist says, I delight in your Torah, O Lord, or in your laws, O Lord. Let's go over to Luke's gospel. Page 1388, if you got a Bible like mine. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. I'm setting you up. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a setup. Okay. It definitely is a setup. I hope you still love me after I set you up here. Luke 2, verse 10 says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings.'" Good news of what? Great joy, which will be to all people. The angel is coming to the shepherds, and he's telling them that your Mashiach, your Messiah, your Savior, your King is about to be born. Amen. That was good news. That brought great joy. Amen. And if you look in Luke 15, there's three parables over here. In Luke 15, I praise you, mighty God. I'll tell you what, I'm just so happy to be blood-bought, born again, and filled with the Spirit of my Messiah. Amen. Glory to God. Luke 15, verse 4. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who needs no repentance." When you got born again, a couple Sundays ago, we had four people give their heart to Jesus, and heaven was celebrating. Amen. Glory to God. And then there's the parable of the lost coin right after that in verse 8. And she can't find his coin. Verse 10 says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen. So we, when one repents, it brings joy to heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then there's the story of the prodigal son over here in Luke 15. Got any prodigal sons here? Yeah, I thought so. Verse 32 says, "After he comes back and his father kills the fatted calf, and they're having a party and a feast for him." Verse 32 says, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found." Amen. So salvation not only brings joy to those who repent, but salvation, the act of your repentance, brings joy to heaven. Amen. Glory to God. So there's a little bit of heaven experienced on earth at repentance. Glory to God. But it's up to us to maintain that joy. It's up to us as priests to continue that relationship with God and continually, every day, put some fire, put some wood on the altar, the fire of our hearts. Amen. To keep that fire burning. All right, now, I set you up. Are you ready? All right, let's go to Acts. Chapter 13, page 1516. So, we've talked about a lot of things here on earth that bring us joy. We talked about some things that bring joy into heaven. We've talked about these four pillars of our joy and gladness, briefly. But let me read you something. You might not be as happy with me after this. Are you? Okay. Acts chapter 13, verse 42. "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue," Paul is in the synagogue and he's ministering, he's preaching, "the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Paul and Barnabas got persecuted. See, you guys got the real deal. A little persecution didn't bother them boys, did it? They just went on to the next city. All right. I'm not done with you. Turn to James. James chapter 1, page 1751. James chapter 1, page 1751. Now I want you to brace yourself. Okay. Let's start in verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus the Messiah, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm going to add tribulations there, because he says these trials are going to produce patience in you. And then he goes on to say something. He says, don't be double-minded. What's that mean? Don't be believing God on one minute and falling apart the next. Because if you don't understand how much God loves you and you're trusting in that love and being faithful to him, in the midst of those storms, in the midst of those trials, you will lose your joy. I don't know about y'all, but everything doesn't always go right in my life every day. And it's those days, those moments, that I have to trust in him. And trusting in him is not, oh my God, what am I going to do? Or calling somebody to have them feel sorry for you. Nobody feels sorry for me. I can't get anybody in a pity party with me. Huh? That's not maintaining your joy. My dad always says, you know, me and my brother-in-law, Keith, we're pulling our hair out, you know, trying to figure out how we can get trucks here and how we can get trucks there. And, you know, and dad, he'll come in and he'll say, What are you guys fretting about? Well, we're trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to get this done. Oh, it'll work out. It'll work out. And you know what? It always does. It always does. Now, sometimes when he comes in and says, it'll work out, I get mad. Anybody ever been there? Somebody tell you, oh, God's got your back. God's going to work it out. And you're like, Daddy, I need more than that. Huh? Am I the only one ever done that? But see, and it's those moments when we stop trusting, and the devil is allowed to steal our joy at that point. And as hard as it is, as hard as it is, we have to keep trusting. We have to be people that will say, God is going to work it out. Amen. I mean, after all, how many times have you tried to work out the problem and made it worse? I am the guiltiest of that, I'm telling you. I'm the type of person, you don't have to tell me to do something. If I see something needs done, I usually just jump in and do it. But that's not trusting God when you try to fix things. All right, just let me back up. Let me give you another one. That didn't seem to faze him, Lord. They're doing good. We'll find one that'll faze him. 1 Peter chapter 4, page 1768. If this don't work, I'm going over to Habakkuk, the prophet. 1 Peter chapter 4, page 1768. Chapter 4, verse 13. We'll read verse 12 because it's there. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You know what I get out of that verse? Everybody goes through some fiery trials. Everybody. You don't have the market cornered. You're not the only one. Okay? But rejoice. Oh, I got to read that together. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Not just joy, exceeding joy. Glory to God. If you are reproached for the name of Messiah, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Wow. Peter says, hey, y'all have been through some fiery trials. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers in Christ's suffering. And when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. See, when you're going through those difficult times, and we are suffering, going through those difficult times, just like Juanita. But this morning, Juanita has great joy, exceeding joy, because he brought her out, he brought her through that. Amen? Glory to God. That doesn't seem to faze him, Lord. Let's go to page 1228. Page 1228, this is Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Hallelujah. Verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, let me stop right there, and there be no herd in the stalls, I'll stop right here. See, most of us, we don't live on a farm. Where we go out, well, we've got to go out and you know, we grow a garden and we pick tomatoes. We usually go to the grocery store, right? So let me try to see if I can put this in, get it down to where you're at right now. Let's just say you have no money. So you can't go buy anything at the grocery store. Now we're hitting home a little better. Okay, and he says, yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Wow. Ain't got no money. Ain't got anything else. but I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Whew. Habakkuk was better than me. You know, a lot of times it's money that dictates whether we're happy or not. Did you notice that there ain't ever enough money? So if money dictates your joy, and we've already established there ain't never enough money, then there ain't going to be much joy in your house. But the prophet said, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to close with this. Deuteronomy 28. I didn't write a page down, I don't think. No, I didn't. Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's going to be page 350 or 250 something. Let's go start in verse 45. Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. God's about to pronounce some curses on the children of Israel, and then he's going to tell them why these things are going to happen. He's giving them warning. Remember, God's mercy always precedes his judgment. So he's giving them warning here. He says, moreover, verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. What do you got to say about that? God said, these curses coming on you because you did not serve me with joy and gladness. All right, let me break that down to you. Christians, you don't have an option. Self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself, being mad at the world all the time, you don't have an option. God says these curses are going to come upon you because you did not serve me with joy and gladness. I don't see an option there, but maybe some of you are smarter than me. I don't have a choice. I've got to learn to trust in his love and his faithfulness when I'm going through the tests and trials. Amen? And listen, whoever told you that Christianity was going to be easy lied to you. But I will tell you this, serving the devil and sin was a lot harder. Because the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? So, what are you going to do about it? There you go. Serve the Lord with joy and gladness. Can I tell you something? The world is in need of Jesus. Amen. The world is in need for the body of Messiah to serve him with joy and gladness. When you're out in the world, don't tell people how bad you got it. Tell them about the one you love and the one you're trusting. Amen. Because people with all kinds of problems don't really want to hear about your problems. You need to give them the answer to their problems. Amen? Serve him with joy and gladness. I was just driving down the road listening to some songs, and it just hit me. God just woke me up and let me know, you know, just the Holy Spirit in me, just, hey, you ought to be happy, happy, happy. because you're saved, saved, saved. Amen. And filled, filled, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, it's going to be up to you to keep the fire on the altar of your heart. Amen. It's going to be up to you to spend time with God. It's going to be up to you. Yes. Can I stop you? No. No. Amen. 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 Came back in. Amen. Amen. When you put God first, He will bless you. Glory to God. Amen. And when God blesses you, your joy tank stays full. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day. You can have a bad day, okay? But then you got to brush yourself off and get moving back with Him again. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, we live in a critical time when I believe God is trying to move on His people. And as God is moving, we need to move with Him, and we need to be witnesses for Him. Amen? Because the person that you might be spilling out all your problems to, God might have directed them to you that day to invite them to Jesus. Amen. Don't miss any opportunities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed this morning? I'm happy. I'm ready. Shake. Oh. I just thought that was a cool song to wake y'all up. Amen. Was I? Thank you. Titanium knee and overweight and all? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we're about to take communion. Here we don't have a closed communion. It means we don't check your credentials, okay? You're here with us today. You're part of our family. I'm going to get Bernie and Debbie to help me. Hallelujah. The next men's prayer breakfast, we're going to train the ushers. We're going to have ushers training. Hallelujah. I want you to try this. Next time you get bad news or you're going through a difficult time, just think about the day that Jesus, by His Spirit, wooed you to that place you repented. Amen. And the joy that was in your heart. You know, Isaiah talks about the joy from the waters of the well of our salvation. Amen. And you know, salvation is not simply being born again. We walk out our salvation. You know, in Hebrew, the word yeshah is the word translated salvation. And it means to be delivered by the hand of God, to have your enemy destroyed, and therefore you're casting your eyes upon your deliverer. Amen. So being born again is just the beginning. But how many of you know every day you find yourself in circumstances or situations with people that you need God to deliver you? Amen. We probably don't know all the times God's delivered us out of traffic accidents. Amen. Every day. Or how God has directed our path, and maybe we didn't even know it. He's just directing us away from trouble. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. God took care of you. Amen. Glory to God. Come on over here, Bernie. Walk this way. Help me. Huh? Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hold in your hand unleavened bread, matzah it's called. It represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for being willing to fulfill your God-given purpose. We thank you, Father, for your Son Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were made whole. And Lord Jesus, you told us that when we did this, we were to do it in remembrance of you. And in remembrance of you, that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit. That you are our high priest interceding for us right now. And that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our heart and remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body this morning. Hallelujah. This cup represents the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. And he said, not only partakers, but you can have this life and have it more abundantly. In other words, you can have as much of God as you want to put into that relationship. Amen. This cup also represents the fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony that the bride would drink from, but the groom would not. And by her drinking from it, it was her solemn vow that she would remain faithful until he comes. So by drinking this cup this morning, we're telling Jesus that we will be faithful until you come. Hold your cup up. On three, we're going to say L'chaim. One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. Lord Jesus, we thank you. And it's in remembrance of you that we drink of this cup this morning. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Stand up with me if you would. We're looking at, I believe it is the second Sunday in August to have a baptismal service. And we'll go to the river. Okay? I think... we'll go to the river and baptize and come back to the church and eat dinner. That be all right? Or should we eat dinner and then go baptize? What do you all think? Go baptize and then come back. Okay? We'll go baptize and then come back. I have more to celebrate then, seems like. Okay? We used to do it at the river. It's amazing. People out in boats, the respect they'll give you, they'll turn their boat up, they'll ride up and cheer Jesus. So if you need to be baptized, or maybe you've been baptized, you just want to get baptized again in the river, we will put you in the river. Okay? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise this week. Father, help us. Help us, Lord God, to maintain the fire on the altar of our hearts, that we might maintain our joy and gladness as we serve you daily. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.